Don't blame you.
Recording in progress.
Are we ready?
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
Yep, nope, you're good to go.
All right, we'll go ahead and call the Public Safety Committee potential quorum of City Council to order for Wednesday, January 25th, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. Any changes to the agenda? Anybody? Nobody? No? Okay. Approval of October 27th, 2022 minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for October 27th, 2022.
Can I second? I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll second it. I was here, but I wasn't.
Public comment on items not listed on the agenda.
So
just go ahead and stand, and you know what to do.
Back under 1061 Quince Drive. I want to know what the status of vehicles parked on the road for in excess of a year. Moss is growing up around them. There's a vehicle on Rose Street just before you get to 18th. It's got Washington tags on it. It's been hit. I don't think it's movable, but I'm not, I haven't been expecting it. But the one at 966 Maple has been there over 2 years. It's a Volvo with expired tags. It's also tagged in Washington State. Do we have to make a complaint to have that done, or should that be something that we routinely look at? My question.
Thank you. Well, just a second here. I didn't know if anybody wanted to say anything about that.
No,
or just a question? Okay. We'll get back to you on that then.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. State your name and address, please.
Roy Roulette, 418 2nd Avenue, Junction City, Oregon. Most of you have heard of me or heard about me. I'm supposed to be the troublemaker down that area, but I can rest assured that I'm not the maker of Oregon drainage laws, nor of FEMA laws. That's why I think it's connected to safety. Our FEMA laws are very strict, and it has to do with our flood plains. And prior to the building of any construction on a FEMA area, flood area, it has to be evaluated by FEMA individuals. And it's recommended only 2-foot stem wall. After that, you have to have a landfill. You need to have it done with an engineer. It has to be filled with certain materials. It has to meet certain compaction. And then every aspect of a home built on that has to be endorsed by a FEMA individual who's licensed, from the stem wall to the walls, the floor, the ceiling, the roofing, the plumbing, the electricity, the drain, sewage. That's all has to be with that. And then the Oregon drainage laws restrict our flow of rain drain from going into the streets. It has to be into a receptacle and then gone to approved area. Right now, our streets aren't equipped for the rain drains, and I don't know about our sewage. So that brings me to another subject, our changing of the zoning. If we change this zoning, which concerns me, is that the average family of four uses 300 gallons a day. Now you put another family beside that, that's 600 gallons a day. Now that's, we've already got a shortage during the summertime of water. That also add to sewage. That will also add to surface water that we can't, that can't be absorbed, so it's going to be runoff. And our rain drains are not equipped to handle that just yet. And each family usually has a vehicle of two or more, so that if you drive down our streets now, you're going to be cautious to make a left or right turn, because you either get hit in the side or an ass end, because people don't want to wait for somebody to turn. So I'd like to take this on to the planning committee and the city council and have this considered when they vote on this, that I don't think our infrastructure is quite ready, and sometimes we just have to say no until we are ready. So I want to rest assured to you that I have put my name in for the city council. I'm not there for a vendetta. I'm not there to get even with anybody. I'm there to help, to work with someone for unity and help the public. I want to see the city grow, but I want to go inch by inch, not bound by bound. And when we do it, I want to do it correctly. This building, the building construction behind me, it got away from us. I think because of new laws, we weren't aware of it, and it could wind up to be a Donnybrook.
Thank you for your comment.
So, if I may, Chair, just want to clear up a couple of misconceptions. The city doesn't have a shortage of water in the summer. What happened was equipment failure. That's different than a shortage.
I stand corrected.
So just wanted to put that out there.
Exactly.
A lot of these, so trying to be concise so I don't waste all of everybody's time. I understand way more than probably I really want to in some days, the concept of making sure our infrastructure can support growth. But what we've got to keep in mind is once a property is annexed into the city no longer has a choice of whether or not it has, whether it provides service to that property. Once something is annexed in, the city has zero choice. So like the property behind you, the city has no choice. We have to provide it water and sewer by law. We have zero control over that.
So, but it's in a FEMA area, so it's controlled by FEMA.
Not the services, no.
Not the service, no.
No, I'm just talking about the services, whether or not we provide. I'm not talking about the floodplain and all of that. That's a whole different, way big, different kettle. I'm just talking about the water and sewer aspect, I think. That's all I'm referring to. And right now, our code says all of the, your gutters and your downspouts have to go out to the curb. That's what our code says today. Not into an approved device, but out to the curb. Just, that's just what the code is today. Anyway, I just wanted to...
And see, the Oregon drainage laws would come into effect. What you're saying, we're grandfathered in because those drains weren't there or were there prior to this.
Any new construction in Junction City, you go out on the west side and look at all those out there, all the drains come out to the curb.
Right, but don't we have to, anything new has to go to the new laws. We can't say the old laws, can we?
What I'm saying is the code as it stands today, which we're a home rule community, so just like all the other cities, our rules trump at this point.
Right.
Ours say it goes out to the curb. Where we comply with the law is once it goes from the curb, it goes to an approved device, a catch basin somewhere, to drain the water off where it appropriately goes. So that's why it doesn't have to go straight from my house into a catch basin or other approved device, as you would see in the law. We comply by having the catch basins out at the street.
In our area, there's no catch basins for miles.
Yeah, I'm not commenting. So, I'm commenting in general for the law because that was quite the way you raised the statement.
So now we have oil-filled water going out into the streets.
Can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
This is Public Safety Committee, and I'm not sure that what your comment is. Is it related to public safety?
Yes, or because of buildings being built in our wetlands.
This code discussion actually goes to Finance and Judiciary because that is the committee that is responsible for planning in the city, and the rest of it would be Public Works.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you're heard, but you're heard at the right committee. This is for public safety.
So if we build them on incorrectly and they fall down, isn't that a safety issue?
Public safety is like police, not building codes. That's Finance and Judiciary. That's where the city's building official and all those code-related stuff, that's the committee all of that goes to.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right,
we'll move to departmental updates.
Okay, so before you in the big packet is the calls, and this goes back to, where did we go back to October since the last meeting?
Yeah.
So this goes back, clear back to when the last public safety meeting was. So this is bigger than what it normally is. But this just highlights our activity and the stuff that we've been doing since that time. Since we've got a couple new people on here, and Andrea, you're familiar with it just from CMI, just for your own. We're trying to get the system to do some different things, but the reporting on it isn't quite as agile as we would like it to be, and sometimes stuff double reports, sometimes it doesn't show up on here. So if you've got a question about something, ask us and we'll explain it. It doesn't necessarily maybe articulate it maybe in the most decipherable form.
No, I do have one question if I can ask. Towards the back in the end of the first part of January, Nathan was on here quite a few times. Was he alone?
No.
Okay, I didn't think he was supposed to be out there zipping around by himself.
Whenever they're with an FTO, the FTO is not taking the call.
Okay.
The recruit is taking the call and responsible for the call.
Okay, that's all I want to know. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Just a housekeeping thing. We just got the bill for the CAD system. It's $25,000+. We've approved to pay that. I'm just letting you guys know that. It's already in the budget, already approved, but I'm just letting you know that we've submitted that for payment, just so you know that we paid the bill.
And that's the annual software license renewal, support renewal that comes about every year, just like Springbrook and all of our other software.
Oh, okay.
So just letting you know that we paid it.
Because you'll see that in the bill run, and you don't want people to go, whoa, hey,
what's this?
What's this?
We've had, as far as activity, again, continuing activity with the VHS referrals, a lot of stuff at the schools. The week before last, we had a child that brought a gun to school, albeit a plastic gun, but before he came in the morning, he held the gun out in front of him and took a picture with the other hand and said, "Don't come to school today." And so that was up at the middle school, and so we were able to get up there and quash that and took the gun. The kid was suspended pending an expulsion. And it was a plastic pellet gun, shot plastic. It wasn't even a real pellet. It wasn't even a real pellet, so it was just plastic. And so that's, we got that dealt with. But have had a lot of good input from people thanking us for stuff that we've been doing. Janet's been really good out in the community with the kids, and we're getting a lot of good feedback from that. And we've had people bring a couple cards by. We've been involved in a couple death investigations, and we got a couple nice letters from the families saying that they wouldn't have ever expected the level of service that they got from the police department and something. We had somebody that had passed away at, in the restaurant at the Viking. And we stayed there the whole time with the person, and they were just very grateful for that.
That's good.
Thank you.
Okay, I got a couple of things to actually add tonight.
Yes!
This is a report that I wanted the committee to look at, and I know we keep trying to figure out what's the right information for the committee to look at, what makes sense. Well, I really appreciate the call log that the police department puts out. That's quite a few pages, and I don't have the attention span to get through that.
I tried. I really did. It's like you go along and it's like, oh.
So what you're seeing right now is a report that comes from the court software. And I want to make sure people realize this isn't a one-to-one. I'll copy on your chair.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a one-to-one comparison of what's in the call log, because the court software, it just reports back what makes it to the court, what makes it to the judge.
Right, the ones that...
Yeah, that Sandra puts out. So this is a kind of a more of a little, like a summarized version to hopefully maybe make a little more sense to see if... it's a condensed version, kind of a clip note. Now, things to kind of be a little bit cautious when we're looking at stuff like this is, you know, the discussion around number of citations that an officer writes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to, you know, we can't make it feel like
a contest,
yeah. Like we're trying to set quotas, anything like that. This is purely just informational to give kind of at a glance of what's going on, and that's all it's intended to be, is informational.
Yep.
So, but I did want to throw that out there so we don't inadvertently create something with, like, if an officer listening to it saying, "Oh, they're expecting me to write 47 tickets a day." No, that's not. Yeah. And it's not a, "Oh my gosh, hey, officer so-and-so, look, they did 100 tickets and this officer only did 2. What's wrong with this guy?" No, that's not the intent of this, because it's not that level of accurate of exactly what someone's doing during the day.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give it as an, I said I'd try to bring back something that gave a better look of just what's kind of going on in general. I think this, combined with the report that the court puts in the council packet, is a good combination together. They work well together to give a snapshot of just what's going on in general.
Right.
And also, how many FTOs are there?
3.
So if an FTO has a new person with them, you might see lower amounts for the FTOs, higher amounts for, like, Levi, who smoked October there. And then, you know, maybe, like, where's Eric? Is he on here? Eric, yeah, there we go. Eric has, like, 8. Well, maybe Levi was with you quite a bit, and, so, you know, you could might see where one might be lower than the other, and that could be because maybe they're the FTO, so the recruit's doing all the work and getting the credit for it.
It also does not include anything that goes to circuit court, anything that goes to juvenile court. It doesn't include written warnings because they never make it to any court.
Right.
And it doesn't include verbal warnings.
Right. I think the only thing I'd like to see, maybe, is calls to the school.
Okay.
You know, something like that. So you get an idea. Information is huge for me, just so you know. And I would like to see is how many calls there are to the schools.
And so that, which this dovetails nicely into another segue, the conversation the chief and I were having this afternoon.
I knew that.
I figured you picked up on it in the ether there. So CMI has become a very expensive program that doesn't do what it needs to do. Because I, Councilor Leach, I'm like you, I like data. I want to see numbers. I want to see facts, figures. And I'm always pushing these guys, hey, give me the numbers on that. Let's see what that looks like. And invariably, it's, well, CMI is limited in what it can do. And yeah, I'll just leave it. It's limited in what it can do. I don't want to get into the computer technical jargon. Sorry, so that's why I paused there for a second. And it's not very user-friendly the way it's built and constructed to have a different program pull out the information. I think that's probably the easiest way to put it. Unlike, let's say, like Tyler or some of our other ones, it's more standardized, so you can use outside software to make your own reports and come up with all the information in the world you want. Mike is very good at that. You see that in a lot of his financial reports. It's from that. So what we, you know, what I've tasked the department with doing is saying, okay, let's look at, since the annual cost of CMI is no longer way less than everybody else, so we're paying today for CMI about what you pay annually for the rest of the big boys. Mm. So I was like, okay, let's look at, because I remember when the city went to CMI. It was, AERS was going away, and it was a crud. We need to get something that we could afford at that moment. And for the moment, it did fine. But everything we've done has evolved and become more, everything's becoming more data-driven, quite honestly. So now I've asked them to, let's take a step back, let's start putting the nickels away as we go forward, and start looking at these other softwares and see which one hits all the four corners of the box that we need it to. And there's a lot of them out there. So this time around, I want to start saving, but I want to make sure we're taking the time to look at everybody so we're not doing this rush like we did last time. Mm-hmm. One of the big things is being able to pull this data out, pardon me, and give the committee and the council the reports that it's looking for, and having that flexibility. That's one of the big pieces, besides doing everything it needs to do for the police world, is having that reporting element that we don't have today. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're going to see that because we're starting in budget time, and that was actually part of the discussion when we were talking budget. So you're going to see that coming that way. But in the interim, we'll do what we can to pull that information, so this can be a little more of a manual process. But I know Chief and I have talked about that, just so we're getting that metric. Because it's easy to say, oh, we spend a lot of time there, but what does we spend a lot of time there mean?
Right.
How many times? How many calls a day? How many, whatever that ends up being. And I think that would be interesting to know, because I think it's a lot more than what we realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know some folks on the other side of the coin that keep me up to date of when folks are over there, especially at the grade school. We got an inside track there. And she's not bashful about letting me know.
Well, that's good.
So that's where we're, you know, I don't think that'll be a problem. They're not throwing anything at me, so I must be okay. You must not have gone too far overboard, but. So long and short, we can get that, but we also know we're looking at some other options for our software too, because it gets old of saying, we'd love to, but the software can't do it.
Yeah.
It's time to get rid of the software. The software can't do the damn job. We need to get something that can do the job that it needs to do.
Well, and as fast as this city is growing, the council and committees need to know, how many DUIs? What do we need to do to stop this or curb that? How many red lights are being run? How many, you know, for information. Mm-hmm. Then you can make the best decisions. So, yeah, whatever it would take.
Yeah, for me, it's not about getting the data to say, why aren't our officers doing X, Y, Z? What do we need to do? Where do we need to focus our limited resources to have the best impact and the most impact?
To build a good police force, a good police department that the city can depend on. And that's the only way you can do it is with information.
Yep, absolutely.
And that helps us. The same information is vital for grants, because in order for us to get grants, we need to have numbers to support it.
Right.
And sometimes the system will not give us what we want in some kind of a clear fashion that I can actually depend on, that
sure.
It's actually reliable.
Yeah, I did went to a LCOG kind of an information thing and found out that they do grant writing. They have grant writers, and it's available to the city.
Right.
So if you're having trouble finding somebody, you might give them a jingle. Super, super nice people.
So. Okay, so I had a couple of more things I wanted to throw out there if I can get a little bit longer. Just to make sure that folks know, and I think I already put it on the back table, but we've got some, and we'll be coming back to committee on this, but we're starting to get our arms wrapped around what the building next door will look like for their department. This comes back to the building that was purchased. We have the patrol room in the back. Due to issues within the existing building, we need to relocate our stuff out of our existing building so we can address the sheetrock wall and some of our other things. Plus, we need more room for dispatch. So looking to use the front part of that building that the city bought, the police department bought, the front piece. That's what we're looking at here. Just kind of gives you guys a preliminary idea of what we're looking at. We're going to be fleshing it out more, coming back, talking to committee, running through a lot of things. We'll have to be a little circumspect in some of what we do, just because certain things we don't want out in the public's eye, like for like a security standpoint, you know, that aspect. Very small pieces of it, so you guys don't see like construction documents necessarily. Mm-hmm. But you see, you know, plans and kind of that whole concept. What I really like about this, it fully utilizes the space, puts everything back in one spot, and gives dispatch the room it needs to grow as needed. It has a lot more space than it does today, and it still maintains the front lobby feel for folks that we have today in our existing area, so that aspect doesn't change.
Yeah.
Just literally everything moves over.
So yeah. It'll start in the front. I mean, mm-hmm. This is where we're going to start with the new lobby and the whole thing, because that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
That thing is.
That lobby is about 2.5 times the size of the box that it is right now.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned with the construction of that whole area over there, that, you know, the outside wall, I know is sheetrock. That's why I know, Andrew, you've seen it. We have, when it rains just right, you get rivers running through old patrol room. It's because that outside wall was never built right. And it's going to take some effort to fix it, and I don't know how long that's going to take. So for me, it's getting everybody to the space that's bigger, and it's that we know is safe for them to operate out of. While we scratch our heads and figure out what do we need to do with the rest of this to make that work. At the end of the day, the police department will utilize all the space. It's just what makes the most sense at the end of the day, how that mm-hmm. all lays out. So anyway, I just kind of want to keep you guys in the loop. I'm not, it's not looking for any kind of anything from the committee tonight. It's just more to keep everybody in the loop as we move forward. The last piece is, I know I sent an email out to the council about the University of Oregon. You know, they were making some noises about talking about moving the dispatching services with the city of Eugene. That's been an on and off conversation from day one for a variety of reasons. Not super concerned about it right this moment for a couple of reasons. Right now, the contract says they have to give us a minimum of 6 months notice to start with. They're prepaid all the way through the end of June. So we're not in any danger there. It's not like they can just withhold the money. Same note, we've always had in place plans to... We knew when we brought on the University of Oregon, we grew dispatch. So we've always had plans in place what would happen if the University of Oregon did go to Eugene, how do we roll back to where we were? So I'm not worried about there from a dollars and cents standpoint. That said, we will be bringing back to the committee what that scenario looks like. I'm probably just going to make it as part of the budget process, quite honestly, because we're that close. But either way, we still have the ability to continue to run our dispatch the way we do today, just less people based on the less dollars. Mm-hmm. We've already gone through the motions. I've had Mike do all the forecasting. There isn't anything that needs to happen right this moment. Keeping in mind, university still has not given us any official notice yet. It was just more of a courtesy, hey, we're being asked to look at this, so we're letting you guys know. And we're letting other people know, but it could. We've got plans in place if it does, but right now nobody's making noises like that's going to go anywhere at this point in time. But we'll keep everybody up to speed. We'll bring back more information so the committee will be able to look at what does the scenario look like. I've looked at it. I picked at it pretty significantly when they brought it in my office, and I feel pretty confident and comfortable in what they're proposing. I even had Mike double check it to make sure my numbers were weren't screwball. So Mike gave it the thumbs up too. So now I'm super confident now that Mike said it looks good. So, but just trying to keep everybody up to speed, be transparent with everybody. It's where we're at, but it's nothing we haven't already thought about, and it doesn't. It's not fun, but it doesn't cripple us in any way or really hurt us.
And so if this would happen, then that's when you'd cut back on dispatch and just kind of roll things back.
Yeah, we'd go from like 8 to 5.
Yeah.
This is what we roll back like where we were before. Doesn't impact the number of officers on the street. Doesn't impact our staffing and dispatch as far as service for our folks.
Okay.
So we'll be fine there. We've been at that number before.
Right,
so.
Right. No, that'd be the only, I just want our officers safe.
Yep, and that's what it does. We still maintain that. And we still maintain the ability to run the jail, too.
Yeah, well, then that's important. And that, yeah.
I have one question.
Sure.
On the police citation by officer, Allie, is she an officer now?
She's a reserve.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to ask the same question.
Okay.
So I have a question. If you don't have a reserve program, how do you have reserves? How
we
does that work?
We do have a reserve program. Reserve program was reconstituted. And we have been open for applications for a year now, roughly?
Or more.
Yeah.
Actually, Tyler was a reserve
2 years, at
least. Before he went full time.
Yeah, we got all the updates through and those changes that were made that were needed to bring the program back up.
So where are they getting their training from?
The it's a Marion County Joint Reserve Academy between Marion and Polk County.
Then why aren't we going to Lane County? Because they'll be working with Lane County, and Lane County is right here.
The training that they're getting up there, we have worked with them, and we were confident that the training that was being provided up there, the curriculum and the hours fit better with the people that we were that were in the program.
I'll just be honest. That's disappointing to hear when Lane County has had an amazing reserve program for years, and they continue to do that. I know there's some differences here, but on what people think on that. But I think it's important to train with the people who you're going to cover, that are going to cover you, that you're going to be working with, so you're all on the same page, you're all getting the same training.
One of the benefits with up there is this.
So, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that, but at the end of the day, it's an operational decision, and I'm not comfortable airing laundry in public meeting. And I understand what you're saying. And I get that, but I'm not wanting to get into a level of discussion in a public meeting on one agency versus another. I think that gives a bad look. I'm more than happy to listen to comments, but I don't want, you can feel free to make all the comments you want, but I'm not willing to discuss it.
Okay, so I have another question. The Reserve Academy, are they taking personal cars? Are they taking department cars? How, like, that's a significant...
They're taking a department unmarked vehicles. Vehicle.
So we have one reserve officer, is that...
Correct.
We have two.
Who's the...
We have two. He was an intern with us, and he just went through the background and stuff, and his name is Andrew Mikulenko, and I'm chopping that last name up horrible.
I didn't know we had that.
Okay. Where did my deal go? There it is. Anything else on the departmental updates?
No.
Discussion on council goals, the PS7 develop a volunteer program.
This was something that, of the number of goals that the committee had looked at and said that they would like us to look at, was looking into a citizen volunteer program. This is something we've actually been looking at for quite a while. We actually just selected one volunteer, and then a second one is in the process of applying right now. And this kind of gives an overview of the process. When we did the sheet, I didn't have a lot of time to go through, and sufficient time to go through and put a lot of detail in there.
Is this similar to, just anybody over the age of 18?
We can't do like a senior citizen program because it is age discriminatory.
Okay.
Because if somebody, if you say a senior, now you're limiting it to a specific segment of the population. And we, such as this one gentleman, Andrew, that wants to become a reserve, he was actually an intern here, so that actually was a volunteer. That was a couple of years ago when he was going to WASC. And he did some administrative stuff for us. He got his lead certification. It gave him kind of an insight into the department, into what we do. And it helped us with some administrative tasks. And bottom line is the volunteer programs, I've always fully believed in those. I think that it gives the citizens an ability to contribute. You can have somebody that may be really specialized, maybe they're, and again, I'm going to one demographic, but this applies to anybody. So you've got somebody who's retired and they spent their life in GIS mapping. So they've got a lot of expertise in mapping. They could actually help with dispatching stuff and mapping stuff, or, you know, like addressing and whatever, that type of stuff with the CAD. You could have somebody else that's got a background in grant writing, and they could help with grant writing. Just a myriad of skills, and it allows them to go through and do, you know, provide a service to the community, get involved with the police department, give aid back to the department, and at the same time, they're feeling like they're contributing something. So just pretty much anything. The two volunteers that we're going to start out with, right now we don't have accurate, up-to-date records of responsible party information for the businesses. And so they're basically going to be kind of like a liaison between the police department and the businesses, and they're going to be going business to business, door to door, with a form, that gets the property owner's name, you know, if they rent, if they own it, you know, who the landlord is. It's like if there's a fire in the middle of the night, and if there's a burglar alarm or somebody smashes the door, and get a list of three people with contact information so that we can put that into our CAD system, and in the event of an emergency that we've got some way to contact, because we more often than not, even the alarm companies aren't having luck contacting the RPs. They're not, we're so often getting calls from the alarm company saying, yep, there's an alarm here, they're trying to call the RP, they're not responding, we've got nothing in our system. So this is something that is a vital role that these people can play in helping us get this information, and then once we get it, then they would also be responsible for, you know, updating it annually or quarterly, or we haven't actually figured out the exact mechanics of that. But it just gives us a way of actually updating that information and getting it into the system.
I think it's a good idea, because I know lots of times when I'm out there, you'll go and you'll call a number, and it's they're like, oh no, I've been gone from that business
right,
for two or three years now. And so it's like, hey, well, it's being broke into, do you know who'd you sell it to or whatever? And so I think that's a...
And so, I mean, it's exciting to actually get something to where we can get people that are interested and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's good PR. It's good interaction with the community. It's good interaction for the department. It's a win for everybody.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, will they have, I saw them here, they'll have uniforms. Is it
They'll have khaki pants and a polo,
polo shirt.
Will not,
okay.
They will not have patches. It will not look anything like a police uniform. It's unsafe for them to have that. The like our uniforms on the back of them, they say police. Theirs will not say that. They'll actually say volunteer. And so even at a distance, if they happen to be out helping us at something, you know, at a crime scene or something, just, you know, standing at a piece of tape, it's very clear. It says volunteer, and it's
that's good.
They can't be mistaken.
Good.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I think it's a great idea.
Yep.
Anything for you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Discussion on council goal PS10 development of communication plan.
And I'm going to let Eric take that one.
This is the most up-to-date thing. I'll explain it all here in a second.
Thank you.
You guys want numbers, that's where it's at.
You betcha.
Paper cut you there.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Copy.
Thank you. So we've been working on trying to figure out ways to get information out, not just to you guys, but to everybody in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of just an ongoing list of things we're already doing, we plan on doing, and some may work and some may not. The biggest one, so the separate sheet that says Junction City Trends on the top. So that is spot crime. And what that would allow us to do is send our data from our wonderful CAD system to them, and they will input it into a map. And so if you look, so right now we're not doing this, but the sheriff's office is currently using this system. So if you look on page 3, there's a map of Junction City. It looks like tons of crimes. Well, those are, that's just the sheriff's office. So when you zoom in, you can kind of see it's essentially all, most of them are outside the city limits. So the sheriff's office submits those stats to them daily or weekly. It's up to the agency on how they want to do that. And then it'll map it in there. And we were talking about numbers, so on the front page, there, it's showing what's happened in the last couple months for the sheriff's office. You know, they have 125 other calls and 34 thefts, and that's just in our surrounding areas.
Wow.
And so with the map, it'll help us locate of what, you know, where the problem areas
mm-hmm.
are. And then it also will give you just a list. Instead of looking at the map, it'll list out everything, taking time. And on the back page, it'll show different trends. And so again, this will help us and make you guys aware of what's going on in town. You can break it down by the types of calls, the months, and then it'll kind of just show a pattern of, yeah, where our issues are. The best part of it, it's free.
But
it's free
good.
To us,
that's
and
good.
It's free to the citizens.
Good.
And so when you go into and pull up any of these stats, there's no ads. If you, and I've also signed up to get notifications daily, and that's where the ads are. So I assume that's where they're making money. They won't tell me how they're making money, but
sure.
That's, there's ads on that. But you don't need to access that, the ad part. So you can get all that information out of there. We had used crimereports.com years ago before Chief Morris got here, and then it just kind of went away. That company no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were actually paying for that. So this, there's about 4 different companies out there. This looked like it had the best results for the community to be able to pull up, and the price was right. So, and you guys can set, like, if you wanted to just do your neighborhood, you could put a little radius in there, and you'll get notices if your neighbor's house has been broken into, or you can set the whole city, and it goes up to a 10-mile radius. So, it's very user-friendly. I think people will like it. And I just got word earlier today that what I sent them as a sample is their system will take that information. So,
good.
I mean, we could start doing this probably before you guys wake up in the morning type thing. So it's ready to go. They're ready for us, and we're ready for them.
Well, can I speak? Can I speak, madam?
Yeah.
I think this would be great in the neighborhood meetings too. Then you have information to say, this is what's going on, you know, our concern is here, blah, blah, blah. And I think that'll bring them in too.
And you'll be able to zoom in on the schools and you'll see.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you will be able to see, like he's saying, you can actually zoom in and you will be able to see right there live whatever time period you're putting in.
Yeah. No, I think this is great. This is so needed.
And people want to know what's happening in their community. So I think it's, or, you know, in their
right.
neighborhood. So I think that's good to know.
Yeah, a lot of it just comes down to timing. And it's good. Kind of going into the next part. So like we utilize flash alerts. The same thing that the school district uses, like when the buses are 2 hours late. So we send, we put up like a press release or just any info and we send it to flash alert. Flash alert, we'll send it to whoever we want. So like they'll send it to KZI, to MTR, they'll send it to our Facebook page.
Like when you get the, anytime I do a press release, you get a copy of it in your email, that's where it's coming from. It's coming, we put it up there, but then flash alert blasts it out.
So it's a time saver because you put it in one place and it's...
And it's gone, just everywhere.
But that's generally for the big events. The smaller events we use Facebook, you know, found dogs, that type of thing. And we may have to look at doing something different. My kids tell me Facebook is a thing of the past. And same with Instagram. And so we'll have to look at doing some different things. But again, it comes down to time. Yes, our Facebook page isn't utilized as much as other agencies. But, you know, we don't have something dedicated to do social media type stuff for people to do. So it kind of is up to us to put that stuff on there, and we'll try to get more out there.
Yeah, maybe a volunteer would be somebody that would be interested in something like that and get information on there.
Somebody that is familiar, somebody that's in their background. That's volunteers can come in any flavors because everybody has a different expertise. Like whatever you did for a career, you know, that's your area of expertise. If you're a school teacher and you're retired, you could actually team up with us and work with the kids in the schools. I mean, it's unlimited what people can do.
Yeah, no, that's...
Another big one, and it's kind of out of our hands, but we're going to work with the city on just updating the city's website. We actually had somebody fill out a complaint form the other day because they couldn't find the police department phone number in the middle of the night because it's not even listed on our website.
Oh, jeepers.
So there's a lot of things that we need to...
Oh, that's bad.
I mean, the pictures are... Only 10 years old on there, so and hopefully, you know, citywide we'll get that updated, and then we'll have more access links to different things, how to get a restraining order, how to even some agencies will have, like they have the radar trailer, so how to request that, and they can fill out that form instead of, you know, calling us, and we'll have a record of all that. So there's a lot of things that the website can do, and then hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get that out.
Well, in the city's defense, it was the police department that did it last time. So.
Yeah.
So current website, that was
that's why they didn't want the number.
Chuck Salisbury?
Yeah. See, it's a little outdated.
Yeah, a little bit.
And those are the main things. And I'm going to talk to the paper. They used to request our press log. And they would print out the calls if they had space.
What paper?
Our local paper.
They're out of business.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think
they are.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Did they finally? Because I know the owner died.
The owner died. And the paper itself.
Just recently?
Mm-hmm. Been a few months, but yeah.
I was going to say a couple months.
Well, we saw them floating around the city, so I don't know.
You don't get out much.
I don't. I work at night. I don't see anybody.
I heard that, and they were trying to hold it together.
I think it's in probate, is what I heard.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Let's cross that one.
That's too bad.
And those are really our big things that we're going to...
That's great.
...try to up it.
It's wonderful.
But again, I think the spot crime thing is...
It's definitely time. We're growing, and this is what we need to do.
Yeah, I think the more we make like our websites interesting and stuff, I think that'll help with a lot of questions or complaints or whatever that people might have about, you know, police department, public works, city hall, like, you know, just, well, I don't know how you guys get, you guys get the complaints, you don't get them.
But we do.
But I'm just saying, I think, you know, if people can go and they can find it and it's easy, I think they'll use that. And then instead of trying to, you know, find the information another way. So I think that's good.
Yep. Yes.
Especially putting the phone number on it.
That'd be good. That'd be a good thing.
If I can go backwards to departmental update, there was one thing I forgot about. Current city ordinances are maybe not quite so current. Some of them I've seen date back to like 1954. What would you guys...
Relatively current.
That's pretty close.
What would you guys think about if we were to bring you like one section every meeting with some suggested wording, and then you guys...
How about every other meeting?
Every other meeting?
I would suggest. With your guys' workload, do you want to commit to every month?
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, trying to save him from himself a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of those sections are actually kind of big. So. Yeah.
You know, not a chapter, a section.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not looking at a whole chapter, I'm just thinking a section. But yeah, every other month. To bring it to you guys, we would give you some suggested wording. We could bounce it back and forth, and then if you guys liked it, then we could let Carrie look at it, and then maybe bring it back to full council for adoption or whatever we need to do to... Mm-hmm. resolution to change it. Is that something you guys would be willing and would like to...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Time to update them.
Yeah. I think that I was talking to Sandra the other day, and the state has again done something that...
Oh, yes.
And it's like, people are not aware that things that are changing that tie your hands, they tie everybody's hands, and it makes it so much easier for those that are being arrested and let go in 2 minutes, and people don't understand. They don't get it. They don't understand it, and they blame you. They blame the city. They blame everybody. And I think, I don't know how you do that to make them aware of what's going on. And the other thing is, I don't know how we do that either. Maybe do it here, but people don't understand as far as Sid and I were talking about people. Automobiles or trailers or whatever on the street. And is it still the rule, if it's parked and you say you move that thing, that if they move it 2 feet,
yep,
that's okay. It again, your hands are tied. And
this is even compounded exponentially by the law that's in place.
Yep.
All we have to do is they have to say they're living in it for a place of shelter, and then that, and again, Carrie's working on that. I don't know where we are.
I just can't believe some of the stuff that's coming down from the state at all. I just...
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Out of our tax assessment, what percentage per thousand is given to our police force? I think I was in a conversation that it was only 15 cents on the tax dollar?
No. Our $6 and some odd, I can't remember the exact cent, you know, exact, roughly $6 per thousand of assessed value. That's what the city collects. 72% of that goes to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes about $3,000 to house an inmate a day. So that don't levy out very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you lost me.
Well, if they only get 70% of that, $6,
it equates to about $3 million annually.
Mm-hmm.
What the police department gets, roughly, for round numbers, is about $3 million annually. That's what the 72% works out to be.
Okay.
Okay. Were we all done with that? That one here?
You guys have any more questions?
No, I'm good.
All right. Discussion on the meeting date and time. And, I was just going to bring up Jason, probably, we had to change the meeting. I had a conflict with another meeting, but we now will have a meeting open in the beginning of the month, or a meeting night open in the beginning of the month.
Oh, sure.
When the council, assuming the council combines community services and community development, one day will now be opened up, whether it's a Wednesday or a Thursday, in that first week.
If that is works with everybody.
Well, it really makes me mad, but I'll go for it.
I mean, then it's like whatever. We're all done at the beginning of the week, whatever. Or the beginning of the month.
Yeah, whatever works for you, Andy. Whatever works
Well,
for
in
you.
That case. but if just moving it to the
we're
first
good.
Week.
No, anything you guys want, we're good with.
Okay. as long as I think everybody is in agreement with that.
First week's fine.
You know, then all of our meetings are done that.
You're just interfering with my nap time in the evening.
Okay, then we'll do it. So if everybody's good with that, I think that works.
So I'll make note when the council does that to make that same change at the same time to put this in whatever day it gets opened up.
Works for me. That's
and then,
fine.
Yeah, it'll be right before the council meeting. Okay. Committee member comments.
I don't have anything tonight.
I talked enough. Thank you.
I had just. Are you guys using the stop program for
stop city? It's mandated.
It's me. Okay. I thought so. I don't know. I've been using it forever, so it feels like forever. And they don't give back, like, you don't get any report back or anything on that, do you? You do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just never see it, but I hear about it, but I don't ever see it. Is there a way we can kind of see that too?
Sure.
Maybe once in a while.
It only comes out annually.
Oh, okay.
It just came out last month. Yeah. It comes out once a year. And I think that there were only three agencies in the state that had any issues.
There was like three local ones.
Three that were there.
Yeah. Not us.
Then none of them were us.
Okay.
Of course not.
Yeah, I know I don't ever hear anything, but obviously being low man on the totem pole. But I know, like, we also have sometimes trouble, like, signing on. You sit there and you sign on, and it makes you sign on again, makes you sign on again, makes you sign on again, and you don't get anywhere. That's the trouble I've ran into. I don't know about you guys.
Actually, I just learned because you're using the same system as the county. So you guys go on your phone or whatever right after a traffic stop?
Yeah.
See, our CAD system, we tell dispatch, they input it in, it's automatic.
Yeah,
we don't have to do it.
Okay, yeah.
The CAD system takes care of everything. Well, the dispatchers through the CAD system take care of everything.
We go find a nice, quiet place to park and then enter it real quick.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do pull off and then I just got the app on my phone and then just enter it real fast or whatever, but I think part of it too is where you might be located. If the service isn't good, it'll just make you sign on sign on again, and then it just boots you right off. You sign on again.
Yeah, no, ours, I just go 800 and Claire, William, Nora, Tom, and the dispatchers, everything else is defaulted. Unless if we do a service, then we change that.
Okay.
But that's the beauty of our system and our dispatchers.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I don't think I had anything. Oh, I did, real quick. So for goals, how many goals does public safety have total? I mean, can we add goals, or is this it?
So. Not to that list. You can add goals all day long, but that's the council goal list.
Okay.
So I'm not comfortable with the committee adding to it, but if there's things you guys want to add, sure, absolutely, because that's where the agenda forecaster comes into play.
Sure.
Whether it's like future business items, if that's, you know, that's
okay.
It's like topics you want to talk about, you know, kind of, you know, if you want to call that a goal, so to speak. And if you notice, that's where the council goals reside, is under that future business. They haven't come before the committee yet.
Okay.
So that's a good place to put them, like that, and, you know, those types of things, for sure.
Okay. I would like, if everybody else is willing, I mean, I don't want to be the only one, but if for a possible future business item, to discuss the range. I don't know.
Sure.
Everybody's.
Could you elaborate a little bit? What do you mean by discuss the range?
Like, what can we do to keep it and make it safe? Where it's located, or is it going to require a move? What can we do to make it safe and where we don't lose the range? Because I think it's a It's an important tool, I guess, training that Junction City has. Most agencies don't have their own range. The amount to and the travel that it would take to go to a range and be able to use is going to be super expensive.
So I'm more than happy to talk about that, but let's keep this in the back of our minds. Technically, the range never should have been there because it's a general fund use on an enterprise fund parcel.
Ooh.
That belongs to sewer.
Ooh. Ooh.
And that's enterprise, not general fund. The problem, you know, the reason I'm flagging this is any path we look at for sewer, there is not enough property out there, so there's not going to be space for a range. So the discussion is going to have to be kind of that. Does the city look at general fund, look at acquiring some more property a little farther out? You know, say a little farther west? You know, that kind of thing. For it staying, and I'm bringing it up because staying in its current location, it's a ticking clock for where it's at. And we've got to be really careful what we do there too, because of stuff. I'm just going to leave it as stuff, just because of stuff. I don't want to throw it out there, talk on it, but anyway, there's things that it's going to make it difficult. Now, we've talked, Chief and I, on some maybe some other longer-term options, but none of them keeps it where it's at.
Okay.
It pushes it out further west to get away from the homes.
Okay.
Because where it is now, lines right up with phase 3 and 4 of the reserve.
That's where the make it safe part. Yeah. Make it safe for...
And then it comes where...
That's why I want to put it on our future,
yeah,
so we can.
No, absolutely. But I just want to make sure people understand the whole scope of what that discussion is, not just let's build some walls or whatever.
It's gonna be
a bigger picture discussion. But more than happy, now that I understand what you're looking for, to put that as a future item for sure. Because I know it's on Gary's radar as well. And what do we do with this? So.
But to have it mixed up, enterprise funds.
Back in the day when it was really done,
sure.
Nobody was out there, made a lot of, nobody, big deal.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah,
the sewer utility needs this property.
Yeah.
And more. That's why I'm thinking maybe as part of a long term, buying some more to the west, then maybe that's where we carve out a spot to, put that and get way the world out there so nobody will bother it anymore. That's, I don't say out of sight, out of mind,
yeah.
Sorry, Chief, but, get them way out there so we don't have that.
Right.
Because I've seen, Forest Grove, over in that neck of the woods, where they say move something, stuff builds around it, keep moving it as things continue to build. And it's just, and it'd be good to look at what does it take to do it and do it right, because what was done wasn't
right.
It might have been considered okay before everything else was there, but it needs to be safe.
Well, the problem is we're in a groundwater management area, and what's in the bank that the police department shoots at now?
Lead.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful, because if we disturb that, now we've got environmental remediation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
To deal with. So, anyway, but yes, be more than happy to add that for sure. We'll call it future range options.
Okay.
That works for folks to kind of capture what we're...
Yeah, that sounds good. All right. Anything else on the agenda forecaster?
I didn't have anything on.
Okay. Before we adjourn, we all got to say anything for the good of the order, I guess. I don't know from you guys.
I'm good.
Okay, everybody good? All right, then we will adjourn the meeting at, I don't have my glasses on, at 7:33.